said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
All right, it is that time of the week again. This is Sportsaholics episode number 144, which is a toss-up.
It's the pork chop episode.
Hank Aaron himself, which...
The pork chop from the Negro League Baseball Museum. Pork chop, the world's best home run hitter, because no one likes Barry Bonds.
That's right.
Hank very few. Aaron.
Just you in San Francisco. That's the only people, and a couple of you guys in Pittsburgh still hold it down for Barry. But pork chop, if you listen to our previous episodes... 142 with Bob Kendrick from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Pork
Wait,
chop.
Bob Kendrick of the Negro League Baseball. That was just in the news. She's wasn't that
oh, we'll
just
get
in the
to
news?
That. We'll get to that.
Oh, we're going to get to
that's
that?
A good bait right there.
All
but,
right,
teaser. So pork chop.
Teaser with Sheezer.
Pork chop was Hank Aaron's nickname growing up when he first got with the Birmingham
Barons.
You would
Barons. Only eat pork chops on the only. Road.
And then the other 44 was the infamous... Jimmy Brown for the
infamous.
Syracuse.
Syracuse, the Q's.
For
he
the
also,
orange.
All
back
American
then they were the
in
men.
Football, All-American in lacrosse, bro. All right, let me say I've rescued Jim Brown, fellow Syracuse alum, Jim Brown's dog, Cooper. We've rescued his dog up in the
now,
Hollywood
Hills.
Now,
this is a story. We've had the story on, I mean, it's probably been a year and a half, 2 years since. So this was Hollywood Hills. And where
Hollywood Hills.
Where we record the episode.
And those Hollywood nights.
I mean, Bob Seger didn't even do it justice.
And
he tried.
And Hollywood Hills. He did it justice. I'm not going to say.
I mean, he did. He gets you excited. I'm
he
just
was
saying.
Looking so right. It was giving her chills. Those aren't the words.
So... As we record right here, we're on the base.
We're on
the
Sunset Strip.
We're right at the bottom of it, and
we're at the bottom of the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, we're right where it starts. Right where all when it rains, like
it
all
ends.
The shit water
comes
right here.
That's true. Good point.
But man, there's some hikes. You can get lost up in these hills,
and get lost. When the first time I ever took ecstasy, Sheez, I decided it was 2000. Here, I'll tell you a sports story. You don't think it's a sports story? When I talk an ecstasy story, here's what happened. In 2000, everybody, your good friend Eric Marino had just sold his first TV show, his first script to the Hughleys. So I had like roughly $14,000. And I decided, hey, I've never gone to opening day. So I'm like, I have money. I'm going to go to opening day. Me and a buddy, we flew up to Seattle. We saw Pedro Martinez and the Boston Red Sox open against the Seattle Mariners. And it was really fucking cold. And I flipped over in a kayak and almost died of hypothermia. And then I
Wait, out on the Puget Sound?
Oh, sure. Out in that Puget Sound.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. It's another story for another day.
Yeah,
but then, so we saw the first, and by the way, Pedro won the opening game, and then but you lose the next two. So now you're down. Like, you know, the opening weekend kind of sucks when you're down
0-2. 2000?
2000. Okay. It is opening
day
2000.
Right at the height of Pedro
being Oh, it
Pedro.
Is the height of Pedro.
I think he threw like a 2.2 ERA that
season.
Yeah,
you're saying, yes, absolutely. And Pedro is Pedro, and he wins the opening game. We lose the next two. And weirdly, because of fates, as it would have it, like I'm just flying up for Seattle and three games. But it turns out, of course, the Red Sox next three games are in Anaheim, which I'm flying back to Los Angeles to be in my house so I can see the next three games. And as it weirdly turns out, I had to go to a family wedding. So I actually, in 2000, Sheezer, I went to the first 10 games of the Boston Red Sox. Like I was like a deadhead for the Red Sox.
So you go Seattle, you go Anaheim.
Seattle, Anaheim. And
then they
went,
go back east.
And I saw the opening. I saw
both home openers?
Yes, I saw both opening. Yes, I did.
That's a
and
good,
that was like Carl Everett, C. Everett Koch. That was like, and he hit two home runs from each side of the plate. And I missed the early one because I was late because my high school girlfriend. You know, there are lots of stories. But there's also a certain point where I'm going to tell you this. Sheezer, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. And it's the day I actually realized I'm a sportsaholic. So I'd seen the opening, the first three games in Seattle. So we're down 1-2. And then we have to fly back. I mean, I fly back home. But it turns out that Nomar, you know, because we're talking about the 2000 Red Sox. So Nomar and Pedro and everybody flies down to Anaheim. And by the way, guys, you know what? I got to be honest with you. I was just flying. I was flying for fun and commercially. It is a grind. It's a little bit of a grind that I don't think enough people appreciate, that if you have to play athletically at a certain level, that traveling around the country, game after game, night after night, on the road.
For 8 months.
It's not necessarily easy. Like, yes, one game of basketball, one game of pickup, you know, sandlot baseball is easy. But to actually be on the road for 82 games, 162 games, 16 games, NFL, what have you, it's not as easy because we sit at home and we watch it on TV.
Well, I don't know if it was the Cubs Marlins. It was a Cubs game a few weeks ago, but it went till, I think, 2 a.m. Central time. It was 18 innings. And then the next day, the Cubs were playing in Colorado,
right?
Day game.
Yes.
And
that happens because sometimes you can sit
down. For the sake of the Cubs, it got rained out and postponed.
Look, I've walked into a bar to watch the last inning of a Red Sox game, and I've been trapped for 23 innings. Like, I got trapped into a Seattle Mariner Boston Red Sox 23 inning game. Like, sometimes you just get trapped in extra innings or whatever. Sheezer, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show. It was a Friday night. So I'm going to say it's game four. Anaheim, Red Sox, 2000. And it was a tough game, and the Red Sox lost. And, you know, I'd gone to the game. This is now it's the fourth game of the year. It's my personal fourth game already of the season. I've seen every game that the Red Sox have played, and now they're down 3-1. Like, we got three losses. We got one win. We won Pedro's opener. We haven't won a fucking game since. You know, and you have the hot dogs and you have the pretzels and you have the beer, and I'm walking out. I'm walking out of Anaheim Stadium, and some of you know what I'm talking about. Now, I just have to tell you, Sheezer, there was a young boy, 10 years old to 14 years old. I'm going to say he was 12 for the sake of the story. I don't know exactly what age he was. He literally skipped. Guys listening at home, I'm not lying. The person I'm talking about, this little boy, he literally skipped in front of me. He skipped. I'm just trying to get to my car. The Red Sox have lost three games in a row. I'm just trying to get to my car and drive home when this Angel Anaheim 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old fan literally skipped in front of me, and he said the words, "Boston sucks." He skipped, Sheezer. He skipped. He skipped. He's in the air.
In only a way, I'm assuming, Caucasian 12-year-old from Orange County could skip.
Absolutely. And he's right. I'm telling you, like, no part of his body is touching the ground as he's right in front of me because he's skipping. And he's saying, "Boston sucks." And that's when a demon. This is when I realized I was a sportsaholic. This is when I realized I had a problem with sports, because without missing a beat, without missing a moment, with no hesitation, the demon came out of me and said, "Go fuck yourself, kid. Go fuck yourself, kid." And that kid, he jumped out of his skin. "Boston sucks. Go fuck yourself, kid." And he jumped out of his skin. He was so scared. I saw the frightening. I saw the scaredness in his face.
Welcome to the real world, you little fucking
Go
punk.
Fuck yourself, kid. And he was scared. I scared that little boy. And I like Michael Corleone at The Godfather. I didn't look to the left. I didn't even pretend I still was holding the gun. I just walked to my car and I drove home. And I happened at that time. I was hanging on the Sunset Strip. I lived here, Saddle Ranch. That was the first time I ever took ecstasy. It was the first night I ever took ecstasy. Because I thought. Well, there were lots of reasons. First of all, if a girl named Zamena, who's from Argentina, says, "Hey, Eric, stay, let's do ecstasy," you're going to stay and do ecstasy. I'll say that.
Her name alone.
Her name's Zamena. Her name's Zamena. She's Argentinian. Stay. And then, so when I did ecstasy for the very first time, and it didn't work right away, I actually came home, and it didn't kick in. It didn't kick in.
Now, are you talking a couple hours here?
No, I'm telling you, like, I took it and it didn't kick in. And then I took another tab of ecstasy and it still didn't kick in. And it was like, I was actually walking through the parking lot of the club I was leaving when all of a sudden my knee kind of bent and all of a sudden everything chemically in my body changed. And I was like, oh shit. It's happening. Like, whatever's happening is happening, and get home right now. And I drove home really quickly, Hollywood Boulevard, and I caught myself watching, like, 'cause there was a tow truck on Hollywood and Highland, and all of a sudden I caught myself watching the tow truck yellow
the spinny
lights. Oh yeah, I caught my mesmerized. I'm like, "Oh my god, you have to get home right now." And then I got home, and by the time I walked in my house, suddenly the full ecstasy effect, Sheezer, was happening. The full ecstasy effect. And remember, I still had to go and watch another game of I was going to all the Red Sox games. Like, I was going to, by the way, I was going to watch Pedro pitch tomorrow.
He's number
two. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I guess maybe it might have been Friday. It might have been the Saturday night game. But every idea, guys, if you've never taken ecstasy or Molly or MDMA or, you know, donated to the Jerry Lewis telethon, I'll tell you this. Every idea you have is a great idea on ecstasy. And the idea that I had living at the foot of the Hollywood Hills was, oh my God, I'm gonna walk up the hills and I'm gonna find a secret path to Mulholland and to the valley. Like, I'm gonna find a back road. And so, guys, I took my blow pops, and also because Anaheim Angels on Friday sold some prism specs for their fireworks, like for a buck. Like,
okay, add like a little extra element.
Yeah, they have like a little. Visuals. They're like the 3D glass, the paper 3D glasses that, like, they're prism specs.
So these are in your pocket.
Oh, they're in, yeah. And by the way, I have a blow pop.
And by the way, this is an incredible first go round on ecstasy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, it's the best. And so it's like, and I found an abandoned house up in the Hollywood Hills that was being built. Like, I watched like sun come over the galaxy. Over the Griffith Observatory. I'm watching. I got prism specs. I by the way, it's 2000, so I'm listening to a Discman, people. Like, I'm listening to CDs on a Discman.
You're doing this proper. You're
right,
doing
right,
this,
right. I mean,
this
I got pockets at four. Right. Oh, absolutely.
You had to go to the record store to
right.
find
oh,
new music
yeah,
back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I'm saying, it's like, guys, even my first trip with ecstasy, in a weird way, was involved with sports and realizing that I was a sportsaholic.
That's what, when you said that, it reminded me of yelling at that kid. So in yes. 2015, I'm up in Tahoe, and it was a West Coast Sheezer, strange, everyone that's a family, like, let's get all these families together, West Coast version. And we're meeting in Tahoe, we're having a nice lunch, and, you know, that's Giants territory. And this is 15, halfway through their little
yep.
championship season. Or, you know, they're wearing the patches on the jersey. We won the World Series in 14. So this little fat shit.
In your face.
12 year
old. In your face. Because you went to the World Series. It was like, by the way, guys, just so you know.
I went to game three.
The game they won. But also, like, I was just with Sheezer in Kansas City, home turf at Kauffman Stadium. And we went in. And they, by the way, I was surprised that, you, like, for $250, Sheezer, you could have bought, like, third or second base from like one of the games. Like, that was, I mean, granted, you didn't win that World Series, but your Royals were playing in a World Series, and for $250, you could have had third or second base
on
from
my
a World Series
on my
game.
Bucket list, sportsaholics, straight up right here to the max would be a game used, game three, World Series 14 ball from the game I went to in yep. San Fran. It's $800, and it's from some relief pitcher and some player that, it was like a late season edition. It's like a Jason Maxwell or some guy that the Royals picked up last minute. But yeah, you know, to go
I would
there,
like everyone,
that base. That
I would
base.
Like all the listeners to home to know. Everyone who's listening right now, I'd like you to know that I just switched to my game-worn Ian Kennedy, Kansas City, St. Patrick's Day hat.
Which he's finally coming back off the DL since you bought as soon as
yeah,
you
yeah,
bought
as soon
hat.
As I bought the hat, he went to the DL. So it's like, but also I feel my shows have been better. So I might have, yes, I might have taken a little from Ian Kennedy. I might have taken a little from Ian Kennedy, but our shows have been better. And I'm wearing a game
and you
hat.
Look and you look great in the
I
hat.
I look great. I look great in green, everybody.
And so we're up in Truckee or Tahoe, and Truckee's like the town. Once you get off the highway, and you're like, oh, we're in Truckee, and then Tahoe, Lake Tahoe is another 10 miles down the road. So we're sitting there eating our food, and this little probably 12-year-old kid, chubby, Giants hat, I'm roiled out. I'm excited to be a Royals fan
They'll
more
never
than
be
ever.
Royals. Go ahead.
And he hits me. Hey, you know, we really got you. we really got you last year.
Motherfucker.
You know? But look, there's a right and a wrong way, kids, to approach. Hey,
yep.
Great World Series last year. You know, congratulations on a good season. And then you go, sorry, we couldn't give you that seventh game. Wink, wink. Or, sorry, Madison Bumgarner started every fucking game in the World Series. Sorry. You know, approach it like that. So he this kid's a little dick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, and at the time, the Giants definitely weren't hot. They might, you know, the Dodgers won the West 6 years in a row. So they were probably trailing the Dodgers at that point. And so I just go, yeah, good luck getting back to the World Series this year.
Yeah, fuck that kid. Go fuck yourself, kid.
And I just left it at that because the Royals were doing well. And point being, when the Royals won the World Series in 15.
Yep.
At the end of the night, after all the celebration and everything that was going on and the calls and the listening to the after show and writing everything and relaxed, and then it just popped into my head. I was like, man, I hope that little fat shit kid is thinking about me right now.
Yeah.
And how his Giants are not in the world, are not World Series champions
anymore.
I got
to tell you, Sheezer, you know, as we just came back from Kansas City taking Sportsaholic on the road for the first time, and I went to Kauffman Stadium for the very first time. I got to tell you, it was so great to see your stadium, your home stadium, Kauffman Stadium, like still dressed out in the home of the 2015 World
nice
Champion.
Nice and fresh.
Now, yeah. It's,
the paint
it's,
barely's dry
I
on
loved
some of
it.
That
and
stuff.
And this wasn't the Red Sox putting up some 1918 banner. This wasn't some like, hey, you know, the Indians, we won in 1948. It was like, hey, man, I mean, granted, you know, it's like, it's not, it was great. It was just great. And again, as I said last week and the week before, Kauffman Stadium, I got a souvenir helmet of French fries and barbecue,
which
is still
also
the greatest thing.
Works as a nice hat protector. Yeah, like you
still,
just put the Kennedy hat inside the helmet.
Yes,
and it's safe.
That, yeah. Also, yeah, it's a hat helm. Like it's a hat box. It's a protector.
No, it's. I really enjoyed that, even though we were only there for 4 minutes or four innings. And Randy, again, thank you for hooking
God,
us up with
yes.
the tickets. They were great. And guys, if you go on our Facebook page, we put up a video. It's about a 12-minute episode of all of our antics throughout the entire weekend in Kansas City. And towards the end is the footage from the Royals game, which is really just you yelling, your job sucks. Because there was a rain out, so they had the dryers out and the moisture.
I was saying they
upper.
Saved the game. You were being mean to them. I wasn't
Max.
Being mean to them. You know what? Actually, though,
not mean. I mean, we're having fun, but it was a good. It was playful.
Do we have to go? Are we done at the first quarter, or can we?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, we'll wrap up the first quarter.
Okay, because guys, you know when we come back, we have a little bit of news about Andrew Jones and the Negro League Baseball Museum that I want to get into in the next quarter, and I wanted to because we didn't get to talk about Andrew Jones.
No,
we
no,
didn't get
we
to talk
not.
About Andrew Jones, and then we're going to get into Andrew Jones on many levels. And we love that he contributed to our good friend Bob Kendricks and the Negro League.
And we'll get into
we're gonna
that
get to
after
that the
second
quarter, guys. Thank you for listening. I'm Eric Marino. This is John Sheezer. We're gonna be back. Stay obsessed. We'll be right back with the second quarter of Sportsaholic after this.
And with the plugs, guys. When you're hungry and you're in Southern California, you're going to Don Carlos Tacos down on Pearl Street, Kitty Catty Corner from the world famous La Jolla Comedy Store down there. I recommend the Trevino Burrito, my personal favorite. But again, that's Don Carlos Taco Shop in La Jolla, California.
Really good.
Really good. At Eat a Burrito on Twitter, Instagram, at Eat a Burrito. And then, guys, if you need any shirts, hoodies, long sleeve shirts, anything printed up, go to Union Press.
They're good shirts, bro. They are good shirts.
See, Union Press KC. They get really good deals. You know, so if you have a softball team, basketball team, family reunion, a business, big business or small, they can take care of you. And they do really quick work, turnarounds really fast, and they're really professional. So go to unionpresskc.com, get yourself a shirt, and we'll be right back right after this. We'll be right back. All right, we are back on quarter
How
two.
Back are we?
We are very back. And guys, I meant to say this up front, and we never even really finished. You're going to have to go back and do the Jim Brown story, too, real quick.
Oh, we didn't tell the Jim Brown story.
But Steve Palermo, rest in peace. Steve Palermo passed away a few days ago, as you're listening, maybe a couple months ago if it's in the summer. But anyway, great, longtime Major League Baseball umpire from 77, shot breaking up a robbery in Dallas, Texas in 1991, partially paralyzed, was never supposed to walk again through very intense rehab, was back on his feet walking with the aid of a cane within a couple years. And as an eighth, when I was in 25 years ago, he came to my middle school.
He did.
And came in and, he got our attention. As middle school kids listening to, at the time, this guy looked older than shit. He was probably 42 or 44 at the time.
Older than, younger than I am now.
With
younger
a bullet,
than I am right now.
With a bullet in his back, partially
but
paralyzed.
He had an inspirational story.
And it was a good story, and it was very inspiring. And worked with Major League Baseball, umpiring. He would oversee
the
umpiring crew from the Royals game. So he was at Kauffman Stadium all the time and still involved with baseball. So
Steve Palermo,
guys, if you haven't heard of him, he did a lot of good outreach and community. It's just a good man. Sorry, the world's a worse place without a Steve Palermo in it, especially around the Midwest.
Ten Bell, Sportsaholics, we really thank you, Steve Palermo, for everything you did. We're sorry you're gone. Thank you for inspiring John Cheeser.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, a little bit. And
thank you for making a world a better place, Steve Palermo.
And so 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, Eric's walking down from the Hollywood Hills on a sunny, because
all right, we got distracted from the ecstasy story about the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, so Eric, there's a couple spots up in these hills, and you kind of do have to know how to get there. You could kind of stumble across them accidentally, which is assuming
you could know where Lenny Bruce's house is.
How you found them originally.
On ecstasy, wandering through, trying to find a secret passage to the valley. Sure.
And so after you found these routes, he also found a really good, let's go out and stretch the legs, do a nice little hour-long
there are
walk.
Really, yeah, a couple, really
like
good,
a mile,
like
two
a,
miles.
Four-mile, a four-mile round-trip hike that it's like you... It's like, by the way, guys,
you're gaining elevation.
You're doing that. You're walking uphill. There's all that. But also, like, all right, let me be honest with you. Guys who aren't in Los Angeles, there happens to be a thing in Los Angeles called Runyon Canyon. And Runyon Canyon is one of these places that you might, like, if you're sort of, like, interested in sleeping with a girl, you'll be like, hey, I'll go on a hike with you.
Or a boy.
Right. Or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like, but people go on hikes.
There's a lot of hot ass there.
There's a lot of people and a lot of, like, we're getting to know each other and we're going to hike. Like hiking in LA is like going for coffee or going for drinks.
Oh, right. From a date perspective. Visual. There are some beautiful ladies.
Oh, right. There's a great, like a lot of yoga pants and right. A lot of beautiful people.
In fact, walk by
but
three yoga classes.
The greatest problem with Runyon Canyon, because I'm telling you, they all go to Runyon Canyon, is that it all smells like dog shit. Like it smells like a gigantic dog's ass. And what I'm saying is like, I live at the foot of the Hollywood Hills. And so it turns out, since I know all these individual routes up the hill, like it's like I have urban hiking. So it's like I bring friends and it's like, and women I'm interested in, and we go up into the hills and I can show you things that like
incredible,
no one else can show you.
Incredible views.
Right. And they're like, that's the greatest thing. Like, and there's a certain peak that like literally I can show you all of LA. Like I can show you the Hollywood sign. I can show you Dodger Stadium. I can show you downtown. You can see Hollywood. You can see West Hollywood. You can see the Pacific Palisades, Century City, Santa Monica, the ocean. On a clear day, you could see Catalina Island. You could see Long Beach. It's like there's a certain point where the only thing I literally can't show you is
my
the San Fernando Valley. Like I can't show you the things that are on the other
side
of the hill.
North. Anything
right,
north
right.
of the
it's
valley.
Like,
yeah.
What I'm saying is like there's a certain point like. And views keep popping out. It's great. So there's that. Where were we going with that? Like, we had to mention that?
Well, you know, because we're setting
Oh, because I saved Jim Brown's dog.
Yeah, once you reach the top, you got to walk back down.
You do, and like, so it turns out that...
You walk past famous people's houses.
Right, and you do, and there are amazing spots. Like, there's a driveway that has a better view than your house will ever have. Like, there is a house that has a driveway that the view of the drive... The view the driveway has blows... any other view away in the world. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, because you enter and then you go down
immediately? Oh, no. It's like, but you, I'll show it to you again. Okay. It's like, it's just like, it has like, it's the best view of any driveway. You're looking out on sunset and blah, blah, blah. And like, but so it happened one day that I was walking with our good friend of the show, Matt Egger, who has hit Cryptids. Kevin's Cryptids on iTunes is one of the good podcasts. You guys, if you haven't listened to Kevin Cryptids, check it out. And there was a dog walking, like, and had a tag. It was all alone. And by the way, when you're in this area of the Hollywood Hills, it's like, if a dog's out, it's not, like, dogs and cats aren't just let out. Like, it's not.
There's no yards. Everything's fenced in.
Right. No one has a. Right. A dog isn't just wandering around. It's like, that means a dog has gotten out. And so this dog, Cooper. We see the dog and we see the address and the number on the, where it's going. So we bring it back. It was a couple blocks down from where it was supposed to be. And, we buzz the intercom and we hear a voice of an older black man. And we're like, hey, sorry to bother you. Your dog Cooper, we think it's out. And then all of a sudden we hear the man talk to some people and like, hey, did the dog get out? And, you know, it's like, you hear some women that, you know, it's like female voices in the thing. And then, thank you very much. And, you know, Cooper goes in. Now, there happened to be like a neighbor, like there's always construction up in the Hollywood Hills. Someone's always renovating, blah, blah, blah. And so there happened to be someone who's working on the house next door. And that guy goes to me and my friend, Matt, who were walking and just let the dog get the dog back to where he's supposed to go. He's like, you know who that was, right? I'm like, no. He's like, that's Jim Brown. He was like, that was Jim Brown. And it was. It was Jim Brown. We saved Jim Brown's dog that day. I have saved fellow Syracuse alum Jim Brown's dog. That is
number
true.
44.
Number 44.
For the Syracuse Orange
number
man.
Number one in your hearts, 44 in your program. That's why it's 144. We didn't get to that. We get to Pork Chop and Jim Brown.
Well, to keep it in New England.
That's not New England. Syracuse is not New England.
They don't consider that New England?
No. New England is a six-state area. You're from Kansas City.
How is that not New England? Syracuse is
No. It's
what
no,
is that, eight-hour drive?
It goes exactly like this. It goes Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, six states, period. That's New England.
New York is not New England. Okay.
New York is not New England. New England is not New York.
Okay.
Connecticut can root for the Yankees or the Red Sox because they're...
What about Rhode Island?
Rhode Island is Rhode Island, and that's a different thing. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't trust anyone from Connecticut. Never trust anyone from... And I'm not even saying don't trust Yankee fans from Connecticut. Even if they're Red Sox fans. Connecticut, you kind of can't trust them. You kind of can't trust them.
No one likes rooting for a Husky. Anyway, UConn.
Yeah, UConn.
Okay, so I misspoke... With the segue, the New England segue, but I wanted to bring up, and this is something we meant to talk about last week as well. But the Adam Jones getting yelled at.
This is a good story. I mean, interesting story, and
in Boston.
Well, actually, let's start with the positive story.
Okay,
let's start with the positive. Is that Adam Jones just recently donated?
Just last week,
$20,000.
Yeah,
to our friends. Bob Kendrick and the Negro League Baseball Museum that we went and visited to. Guys, listen to episode 142.
Yeah, 142, and Eric and I.
We have an hour-long conversation with the president, Bob Kendricks, of the museum, and it's amazing. And Andrew Jones, the outfielder of the Baltimore Orioles, just contributed $20,000.
Actually, you know what? I've got some audio.
All right, we got some audio here.
Point of view. Things that they didn't have as much as everybody else, the things that they didn't care about as much as everybody else also. Just the sheer game of baseball. At the end of the day, you walk through those doors, it's such a love for baseball that it's contagious.
And I think in the release it said a part of that is that, you know, a group of kids is going to, you know, get to go in there for free. I mean, how important is that? That, you know,
it's all about the knowledge, all about giving knowledge, you know. You give kids opportunities. It's all about what they want to do with the opportunity. But as long as they have an opportunity presented to them, yeah, you let them make the decision. If you don't even have an opportunity, then there's nothing to talk about. But I'm just a person who just likes to give kids, humans, give people an opportunity to learn. You know, when I walk through those walls, I learn. So it would be selfish of me not to help other people learn. Obviously, you hear about Jackie Robinson, Larry Doby, and just countless others. When I got older, I got myself into the big leagues. I was able to go see it for myself. And, you know, Mr. Kendrick has been one of the best curators for that museum. And it's unbelievable that what I'm able to help out with and countless others. So it's just, I think it's good for the game of baseball, and it's good for the next generation of kids who are going to go in there and be able to be like me, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and try and learn something.
And he's right about the educational, because you can't walk through there and not leave with something. You know, just facts, little images that are...
Robinson, Larry Doby, Goose Tatum, I mean, Pork Chop, Hank Aaron. I mean, it was like the things you learned about Lena Horne or Cab Calloway. I mean, the fact that the Jazz Museum is right next door and jazz had such an... Guys, please, again, we can't say enough. We here at Sportsaholics are huge fans of the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City on 18th and Vine. Guys, check it out. Go and find it.
It's NLBM.com. NLBM.com. If you go there, you can support just like Adam Jones did. It obviously could be 20,000. Absolutely.
Buy a t-shirt. Buy a hat. Get something from... I mean, like, don't buy a book. Like, there's an amazing book where Buck O'Neill went on the road with the writer and
Joe
Bob
Posnowski
Kendrick.
From
yes.
The-
Guys, please buy a book, do something.
And yeah, and Bob Kendrick in a car.
And it's like there's so many stories, and and then here's the story we really wanted to get to, and we love. I gotta tell you,
Do you think?
Oh, hold on. Give me a second, okay. Cheese. It's like here's the thing, story guys, because honest to God, last week we left this story on the table. Like it was one of the things that I really wanted to talk about, especially with Sheezer. And our trip in Kansas City, because when we were in Kansas City, that was the same. We went to Kauffman Stadium, and we're sitting in Royals Stadium the same Sunday in which Andrew Jones and the Baltimore Orioles were in Fenway Park, which is where I first saw baseball. All right, where I sat, I sat in the outfield in 1986 when Oil Can Boyd clutched the AL East pennant for the Red Sox. I mean, I love the Red Sox, and I know that Boston is a racist city, and I know that, okay? But some fans were some real asshole fans were real assholes. But I also wanted to talk about it because some people, like 34 people got ejected. At least one guy has been banned from life from Fenway Park. We didn't talk about this last week, but Cheezer, I kind of want to talk about it now because one of the things I want to talk about is like Andrew Jones, who's a great baseball player, and he just donated to the Negro League Baseball Museum. And we talk in a time where I think 6%, only like 6% of Major League Baseball players are African-American, are American black. And unfortunately, Andrew Jones was called the N-word. And it's a terrible story. And I'm sorry. And it's like, because it happened in Boston, it's like, it's a black mark on my town and where I saw baseball. But one of the reasons I want to talk about it, Cheese, is kind of weirdly important because, and that's terrible. And you and I would never do that to an Andrew Jones. We would never do that. But we were out in great seats. Thanks to our friend, Randy, and Phil. We were out in Kauffman Stadium, and we had first row in the right field, and we were able to yell at Minnesota Twins right fielder Max Kepler.
German born. Max
he was Kepler. He was born in Berlin, Germany, and in some ways, like we almost called him the other N word, the Nazi word. Like we didn't, but it was real
we
close.
We beat around that bush so.
No,
tightly,
I mean it was like, and
bush.
I gotta say, I mean, and I'm not like look. But in a weird way, it's like, look, there's a point where I would never yell the N-word with hate. at a black player. I would never do that because my father really taught me right. For lack of a better term, my father sat me down in 1977 when Roots came out and said, hey, you don't say that. That's a hateful word. And I got taught right. But there's a certain point where, you know, Max Kepler is from Berlin, Germany, and both his parents are ballet dancers, and we were letting him have it.
You gotta remind him that his parents are ballet dancers. We were letting him have
it. And it's like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, this is a story that we left this on the table last week, but I really wanted to talk about it. So in a weird way, it's a story of two N-words.
Yes, yeah, and when we left the stadium, I feel like that's kind of when it hits you, where you're like, wait, we were almost that guy, but with a different culture and a different...
Right, and that would have been weirdly wrong. I mean, like, we would have been as shitty of fans, like, excuse my language, we would have been as shitty of fans as those fans in Boston that called Andrew Jones the N-word. If we had called Max Kepler a Nazi... then we would have been assholes too.
Very much so. Very much
so. I mean,
so.
We're making funny, like, I'm yelling, like, hey, do you like Jar Jar Binks?
You were entertaining the Twins fans behind us.
Right.
They were laughing, and that's kind of like...
You know, like, hey, are you going to miss us when we're gone? I'm asking him various, like, which is his favorite John Hughes? You know, you're asking him stupid questions to be funny, but...
And just to let him know that we're...
We're
going to
be here all day, yeah. Max Kepler.
We're not
hurting
anybody.
You ballet parent motherfucker.
But I really didn't feel like we crossed any lines. And it was all...
But it's close. But you have to admit, in a weird way, it's a little close. Like, it would have been easy to call... Like, I'm saying this. I guess my question is this.
We kind of were... Because that's what you are saying when you yell at someone, you're German, you're German. You're calling them kind of a... Socially, you're saying like, yeah, you're a Nazi.
And isn't that fucked up? I mean, isn't that fucked up? I understand.
Like when you're yelling, you're a German, I'm hearing there's a Nazi. There's a Nazi. In my head, that's how it registers.
So there are two N-words.
No.
It's an N-word. There's the N-word.
There's that, the N-word. And then there's...
But Nazi is like, Nazi is also like, it's not cool. It wouldn't have been cool for us to call him that. It wouldn't have been.
No.
That's fucked up.
It would have been, if you want to casually be like, you know, the soup Nazi or whatever, that's one thing. But I don't think there were a lot of kids.
I mean, we didn't Sieg Heil him. No, like, but we could have. But by the way... We weren't...
I did yell, speak as a Deutsch at him.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. We weren't necessarily far away from it. So that's where I'm saying it's like... I mean, like, look, by the way, again, this is no part trying to excuse the Boston fans who are assholes. And anybody who
good
yells...
Good for you, MLB, for banning that guy for life.
And by the way,
anybody
who yells N-word at anybody, you're an asshole. You're an asshole, okay? But on the other hand, it's like, I'm not going to call you an asshole for calling someone the N-word and then think that, like... Hey, maybe if I called somebody the same day, if I called a German player on the same day a Nazi, maybe I'm kind of big of a douchebag. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe I had to learn, like, don't call Max Kepler a Nazi.
I mean, look, if you have to take the footage to Munich or Zurich and say, look at this guy in America.
Nuremberg.
Ooh, that's a deep cut right
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a B-side. Yep. Then if they're, sure, but... you know, in the States, you know, you're not really looking at it because everyone's like, all of our ancestors went over there to kill Nazis. You know,
go over. Some of our ancestors didn't go over. Some of us got like deferments, and some of us are like, four F, like whatever. Like some of us had bad flat feet
and whatnot and everything else.
Oh. All right, so guys, that's something to think about.
What was weird is in those almost exact same seats about 12 years, I want to say 2007, it was long enough, 2007, where the Dodgers were thinking about trading Mike Sweeney to the Dodgers from the Royals, and the Dodgers were in Kansas City, and I went as a Dodger fan to the Royals-Dodgers game as a Dodgers fan. This was 2006, 2007.
Oh, wait a minute, hold on.
I had Dodgers season tickets that year.
Wait. This is something we need to talk about.
Okay.
Like, so you're saying, where are we on this?
Tell you what, let me go.
We need to.
We'll take a break.
Okay,
we'll
guys, this is like second half. Like, so you're saying, hold
I
on.
Fell in love.
You're the biggest Royal fan I know. And what you're telling me is you just came out of the closet as a Dodger. Like,
well,
you went to a Royal. No, no, we're going to. Oh, this is going to be a big thing. Guys, this is going to be a huge thing. You're saying you went to a Royals fan as a Dodger fan. Oh, we're going to talk about this. This is what the second half is all about.
Favorite teams.
No, I don't want to. No, no, I don't want to look at that right now.
MLB.
Guys, we're going to the, this is halftime. Yep. We're going to go to halftime. Please keep listening. Stay obsessed. We're going to deal with this on the second side about sports bigamy and John Cheeser.
It's the Blues. There's so much. But yes.
By the way, and then.
And the plugs before halftime.
Right.
Guys, John is here. J-O-N is here.com. Please, if you are in Medford, Oregon, up on the west coast around Seattle, Twist, Washington, and then out by the Tri-Cities, which I think is like Walla Walla, Kennewick.
Walla Walla.
All that stuff.
Walla Walla.
Go to johnishere.com. Coming up June.
No H. J-O-N is here.
18th, I believe. 11th through the 18th. 7 cities, 7 days, 3,000 miles.
Who are you going on the road with?
Sandro and Scordis.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a great. Guys, yeah. Johnny Scordis from The Equalizer.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And Sandro Iacolano, who is hilarious. Guys, if you guys are up in this area, I'm not part of this plug. I am telling you, this is going to be a good show.
It's going to be a great time, and it's going to work out.
No killer water slide jokes, all right? No
Sandro's
killer.
Sandro's meeting us in Seattle.
It's
going to
be exciting.
So, guys, again, New England or Northwest, not New England. Which we all now know is New York.
Clearly, no. Here's your problem. You want to make every group of states New England, which I like. The Northwest is New England. New York is no. It's just it's cute. It's cute.
So I mean, really, it was anyway. Yeah. Yep. So if you're in Washington, Oregon, NorCal, John is here.
NorCal.
We'll be back right after this.
Stay obsessed. Halftime report.
All right, so we're here at the halftime report. I feel like the episode's going great. We got a lot of good history. You guys are on the edge of your seats right now because you don't know where I'm coming with the Dodgers.
God, that is crazy. It is a cliffhanger. I mean, it is a real, like you think you knew what was going on in a TV show, and all of a sudden everything's upside down. Like you're the biggest Royals fan in the world. Who knows? It's upside down. Who knows what's right?
Dude, some lean years, but. And then we'll also probably get into a little Celtics basketball second
half.
We'll
probably get into some IT4.
Celtics basketball coming up right after this.
The Halftime Report. You in your small corner, I stand in mine. Throw all the punch you want to, I can take them all. Lie down, girl, let me push it up. As a Dodger fan? That's what wait.
I did.
Hold on. You, Kansas City born. Raised Royal, as they say. Raised Royal.
Before it was Raised Royal.
Before Raised Royal. You were Raised Royal before it was Raised Royal. Like, wait, explain to me exactly how you went to a Kansas City Royals game as a Dodger fan.
I'm trying to think of the year, and it was either 06. I want to say it was 06, 07, maybe 08. Aesop Choi, actually, that's how I'll look
up. You were out here. You'd lived out here a couple years.
Yes, I'd been out here. I'm going to look up Aesop Choi right now.
And you're thinking the Dodgers have a better chance at winning a World Series than your Royals.
It's not even that. Pardon me while I'm trying to figure out how to spell Aesop Choi.
Don't try to do that. Just answer the question. You don't need to be in your phone. What you need to do is tell everyone in America, every sportsaholic out there, that you betrayed your kin.
Well, I mean,
kind of.
It was part of the move west, and it was part of it was
go west, young man. Manifest destiny. Root for the Dodgers. Is
okay,
that what you're saying?
So it was. It was 2005. All is right. Actually the year because
that
this,
doesn't make it any better because the Dodgers haven't won a World Series I think since 1988.
But 2005 is also the year in Royals history where they lose more games than any other year in the history of the franchise. It's worst season.
So it's a down year. You're saying it's a down year.
Very down year.
It's the burnt ends. Like Arthur Bryant's. You guys who go to Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City, you might call that the burnt ends.
And I remember the game very well. So at the time, there's rumors that Sweeney is going to the Dodgers. So I make this sign that says, please don't trade Mike Sweeney to the Dodgers. And then at the bottom, I put sign Dodgers fan.
You went as a Dodger fan betraying, like, and you undercut Mike Sweeney.
Oh, it was great. I hung that shit in the bullpen. Dude, the bullpen was crap. Royals bullpen. Dying laughing. Like, they were just like, oh, dude, that's good. It was, oddly enough, do you remember where our seats were in the little...
I do. We were the first guys. These seats were the best seats. They were right, first row, right field.
Right where the bullpen fence opens up.
Right, and we're in home run territory.
And so the way the stadium used to be structured, you had no access to the outfield. Once you hit those bullpens, the outfield was all fountains and grass. No one was out there. There was
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could only, there was like a 270-degree radius that you had access to.
I got you. Because it's like, it's before that weird the remodel. Thing. Like Dodger Stadium, because that's what you guys were, Kauffman was weirdly based on...
Dodger Stadium.
It was weird, like, I guess you have the same colors.
Colors and stadium.
It's weird.
Royals modeled after the Dodgers.
Because
Chavez
Ravine,
specifically Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, because the Dodger Stadium has a weird, like, when you have outfield tickets, you go.
You're not, that's where you are. You can't go anywhere else.
I mean, that was familiar to me as a Red Sox fan at Fenway Park, like. You went if you were in the outfield, you were in the outfield, and that was different entrances.
You had certain limitations to access.
Right, it's like in other words, like in a lot there. I mean, at the very least, between you, what you're saying is old Kauffman, old Chavez. I mean, current Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium, and like old Fenway Park. It was like you could walk sort of like you could walk from the outfield, the first base foul pole to the third base foul pole, but then at a certain point. The seats were going to end, and then the outfield grandstand is separated. There's a, like, literally in Fenway Park and also in old Chavez, whatever is going on in Chavez Ravine now, there was, like, a divot, for lack of a better term. There was a separation, and there was, like you could bring the horses through if in case you needed horses for security. It was, like, there was a separation, like, this is a separate literal building than this structure.
I think in Dodgers Stadium, Chavez Ravine, I'm sure soon to be Vin Scully, everything eventually.
Oh, it should be Vin Scully Ravine.
Apparently they
stole all of Chavez Ravine for, I mean, that's a terrible story too.
They might have displaced.
It's a Netflix documentary about how Chavez Ravine was stolen as low income housing, but okay.
But I think security is a big part of that.
Sure.
Isolating the outside, the outfield seats versus everybody.
It is a terrifying thing to be out in Dodger Stadium.
And what I say, people, like, if you're worried, and I don't hate to be like, you don't really have to be worried. You have to, I mean, maybe you do a little bit. I've seen...
Fans out there are jerks. That's what I'm going to say. Look, I was a Red Sox fan. I went out there for the very first time. My brother and I, we had tickets for the whole three-game stand. The Red Sox and the Dodgers have no history. The Boston Red Sox and the Los Angeles / Brooklyn Dodgers quite literally have no history.
Like, you may be going to
There's no history. There's no animus. There's no reason. It's like there's no reason. If you're a Dodger fan... There's no more reason for you to hate a Red Sox fan than a Twin fan, a Yankee fan, an Oriole. Like, there's nothing. There's no natural. There's no history. There is nothing. There is no history of animus. And I have to say, the first time I ever went out to Dodger Stadium, and I'd been to Dodger Stadium many times on, hey, look, my Red Sox weren't playing. They were playing the Astros. They were playing the Padres. It was, the Dodgers are playing whoever they're playing. And now They were playing my team, interleague game. And I have to tell you, Dodger fans left a lot to be desired amongst fans. Because I had just gone down to San Diego. San Diego fans couldn't have been nicer to me. They almost thanked me for letting Pedro Martinez beating them. That is San Diego fans. They practically like, thank you for letting a legend of the game come and strike us out.
It was an honor to have him here at the park today.
But then Dodger fans were like, it was like, oh my God, is every Dodger fan somehow legally a Yankee fan? Like, how? Why are you so douchebag?
Like, it's New York roots, I guess.
It's weird. It was not, but it's I you know, maybe that Brooklyn thing, but it was like there's a weird thing where like New York Yankee fans, when they come out here, they choose the Dodgers as their alternate team. It's like there's way too many fucking. I remember going to Dodger Stadium and you see babies that were in like Alex Rodriguez pinstripe onesies or Derek Jeter onesies. It's like you're taking babies to Dodger games. And yet it was like, that was the crazy thing about Dodgers to me in Dodger Stadium was like, hey dude, it's like, I understand if you're wearing Dodger gear or you're wearing the gear of the opposite team, but like Dodger Stadium, way too many Yankee fans are walking around in Yankee gear at Dodger Stadium when it's not an interleague game at all. And they're just wearing, hey, me and my girlfriend are wearing our Jeter Rodriguez. And then the baby has the fucking Joe Torre onesie.
I feel like I'm that guy. I would be that guy.
You went to your team's game as a Dodger fan. Well, that's weird.
No. The thing,
we got to get into that.
We will. But to go back to the Dodgers outfield, I remember seeing a 6-7-year-old just throwing candy at just an adult that's two rows down because he had a, I think it was an Arizona Diamondbacks.
Is throwing candy at an adult?
The Dodgers weren't playing the Diamondbacks, but he's throwing candy.
A guy's wearing Diamondback gear, and so there's just a child is
throwing
candy. But he's in a taunting manner, like, yes. Not in a good way. Like, I'm not here. Here's not candy. It's like, no, I'm throwing these bubble gums and
Diamondbacks suck. Candy.
Yeah.
And the look of just joy on that kid's father's face.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, wow. I've raised a winner here.
We got a Dodger fan.
We got a Dodger fan here.
That's
it's
the
like
problem.
There's some, and he's
that's
like the raining. There's right candy there. Literally raining down on some 45-year-old balding man.
He's there with the kid. Too, you know, yeah. And for him, for Arizona fan, a great education.
Who's not, by the way, I don't know Arizona fan that's just showing up at the game in gear.
Yeah, on vacation probably, baseball
but not,
fan.
Yeah, come on.
And
he wearing a full jersey?
No, just a hat.
Just a hat.
And Giants fans, that's deserved. You get that, but your Diamondbacks?
I got to say this. The one thing I enjoy about the Giants-Dodgers fights is that it's actually more mortal. It's like... it's more violent and terrible than the Red Sox and the Yankees. Like, look, Red Sox and Yankees and Cubs, Cardinals are tough rivalries. And I know there's like, you know, and I know there are other ones in other sports, you know, Celtics, Lakers, whatever, Redskins, Cowboys, Auburn, Alabama. Sure. But like the fact that like people have died in Dodger Stadium because they were Giants fans is like,
well, Brian Stowe, who was paralyzed, I think, it was like eight or ten years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, come on.
They've curbed that stuff, or they've tried.
It's one of those reasons. Like, I got to be honest with you. I enjoy when the look. I live in Los Angeles, and I love lots of things about Los Angeles. And I enjoy going to Dodger games. But I'll say this: I enjoy watching the. And I'll say this too: I love Dodger mania. Like, guys, I don't know if I can explain this. Like, you know, I wasn't here for Fernando Valenzuela, Fernando Mania, but then like Hideo Nomo and then Manny Wood. Like, when Manny Ramirez came, it's like, I'm like, I gotta be honest with you. When Los Angeles and Los Angeles Dodger fans turn on, flip out, really go that extra mile, it is a special thing. Like, Manny Wood, hey, man, it's like...
I was just looking at pictures I had.
I'm just saying, it's like, by the way, Kershaw, like, look.
Kershaw's
a great player. Now, we can say Kershaw's a better Dodger, historically a Hall of Famer, but more than Manny Ramirez as a Dodger. But in some ways, Manny Wood is a more impressive moment in time.
Oh,
or Hideo Nomo.
I remember getting Fernando. The call. I was at work, and like, my boss called me. He goes, "We're getting Manny Ramirez."
Manny
I was
Ramirez.
At Smart and Final on Pico.
I wish
in West
it worked
LA.
Out more. It's like I wish it worked out more.
Well, he got that little steroid thing,
and that was crazy because he actually didn't have to test until he.
That little 52 game midseason suspension didn't really help things out.
Completely insane. But it's like, so that is the weird thing, like Dodger mania. When Dodgers really turn, I could make an argument that no fandom turns on like Dodger fandom turns on. Mania, Hideo Nomo, Manny Wood. These things were.
They have fun teams. They've always had entertaining. Like we had back when I
don't think they've always been entertaining. Steve Garvey's boring.
I'm talking about the Dodgers.
Oh, your Dodgers. You root against the Royals Dodgers. Yes, Let's talk about your Dodgers.
Okay, so it starts with.
Let's get you in trouble with your real wife. It's like let's talk about your girlfriend so much we get in trouble with your wife. That's what I feel what's happening.
It started with my first ever Dodgers game with our good friend Rick Ingram, and it was against the Montreal Expos.
Oh, that team that was in Canada?
That team that used to be
so good. They had Randy Johnson,
so
Larry Walker.
The 11th or 12th year of the National. I think the 11th season right now. So this would have been 12 years ago, if not.
Like the very one of the last years of the Montreal Expos.
Yeah, 3-0-4. And
a great hat.
Tremel Sledge. It was their outfielder, and I don't know who Tremel.
It's a great name, Tremel Sledge.
He's from Long Beach, so every time he comes up, Tremel Sledge, this.
He's local. You mean like an Expo player that was getting local?
He's went to, I believe, Long Beach State. His whole family's upstairs going nuts. So Rick and I were just kind of like got on board with the Tremel Sledge.
Sure, absolutely.
And just having a great game, and then I go up for pretzel and hot dog and that stuff, bump into Suge Knight.
What? You bumped into Suge Knight at Dodger Stadium?
Very first Dodgers game I ever go to.
What?
He had just gotten out of prison.
Wow.
And he's standing there.
It's crazy, this story.
Being all 6'3". When you see a 6'3", 320, like Suge Knight
when
wears.
When you see a 6'3", Suge Knight, you know you've seen a 6'3", Suge Knight.
I mean, this was about 12 years before he ran that guy over at the Jack in the Box.
It's a couple convictions ago, sure.
So
please don't hurt me, Suge.
This is long enough. I want a picture, and this is before everyone had cell phone. So I've got the disposable. So I bust that out of my cargo shorts.
Yeah,
wearing cargo shorts.
I'm wearing them right now.
I've got seven pockets, so it's Suge. Do you mind if I get a picture? He's like, hell no, that's cool, that's cool. Mind you, he's signing dollar bills for kids. I mean, this guy was like Robin Hood. kids are coming up to him. He's signing. Like, I saw him sign money and hand it back to little children.
I love this story.
And so
signing money.
We take a picture, and his buddy's taking it. Well, they all have huge cigars in their mouth. That have been extinguished. So
all his buddies.
So it's him and Suge.
I got it.
So which meant at some point, someone at Chavez Ravine had to say, "Excuse me, Mr. Knight, you can't smoke in here."
Yeah, yeah. Even though like you're inside, you can't smoke inside the building. Even though
but
we're outside,
they're still wearing the cigars. It's part of the ensemble or the
ensemble.
And so he takes the picture and he's like, thanks. Can we take another one? The cigar was actually right in front of the lens. In those old cameras, it showed you look through that little hole, that's what's the. But he couldn't tell that the cigar was right in front of the lens. So
sure.
I have two pictures with Suge. One where there's a big cigar, and you can see our lower bodies. The second picture is he and I, and so just in the stadium, and then the Vince like. So there was that moment, and then there was the moment I found out about Vin Scully, and it was an interleague play, an interleague game between
Wait,
the Angels.
Wait, what did you find out of Vince Scully?
I just didn't really know much about him other than...
He just came
into my life.
Oh,
like,
I
as
it.
As a Dodgers fan. Like, he helped...
Well, oh, you're talking about your experience as a Dodger fan.
I'm sorry,
lifelong Kansas City Royal fan. I didn't realize I was talking to Sheezer, Dodger fan at the moment. Sometimes you have to... hold up a hand or something so I know left. I'm talking to
but
Dodger
both,
fans.
Both are blue and you would be confused because both stadiums are modeled after each other.
Let's talk about Vin Scully from the perspective of Dodger fan cheese.
And you know, to tie this again together, he's sitting there talking about Raul Mondesi, whose son.
Raul Mondesi.
Raul Mondesi Jr. now plays for the
Kansas City Royals. Tie it all together. By the way, that is a redeeming factor in this story.
So we're sitting there, and he goes, oh, there's Raul Mondesi, as usual, full of beans and bouncing around.
Bouncing around, full of beans.
And I looked at Rick, and I was like, no way. In fact, I got that on tape, because earlier he was saying stuff that was so borderline racist, just old man language.
Oh, no, I get it.
That I went and put my tape recorder, which was the mini cassette, micro. Yep. Right in front of the TV, and so that audio's buried somewhere.
I know this full of beans story very well. I've known you a long time.
And then he goes, and then Bartolo Colon is pitching.
Oh, yes.
For the Angels. And he goes, oh, Bartolo Colon, good to see him the other day. You know, it'd be tough being a modern-day pitcher. You're traveling from city to city. Of course, from the plains, he's like, of course, back in the day, players like Preacher Rowe and Bobby Cox, they take the trains from city to city. That sounds tough, but a lot better than... taking Pancho the Mule, if you're Bartolo Colon. why is Bartolo Colon getting a mule?
Pancho the Mule. Why is he taking a mule over the mountain?
But everybody who came from like the poor impoverished country where his dad was a banana farmer.
Yeah,
imagine that, making $20 a month and signing
is the point where we call Vin Scully a racist?
$3 million contract.
Is that what we're doing? We're calling
No, I'm not. I'm saying he's entertaining.
I'm just glad he's still alive. I have to say, I'm going to say this. You know what? Early in the show, we gave a shout out to Steve Palermo, who had passed away. Let's give out a shout out to someone who's still alive, Vin Scully, who is retired officially from the Dodgers and not dead. Because I believe I thought that without the Dodger games, and he could die at any moment. He might be dead by the time you guys hear this.
I hope not.
I hope not. That's like Bob Seger. We hope that you're not dead.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad when
we were worried
December.
About Bob Seger for a while.
16 was a bad year for celebrities. So
We're happy to be in 17. And by the way, Vin Scully, we wish you a long, happy retirement. We're giving a shout out to Vin Scully for all the joyful moments you gave us. And also For not being dead. Let's not be dead. Guys, that's the end of the third quarter.
We're
going to finish the story and Jesus' betrayal of all things royal when we come back.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royal. It's a one in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
All right, so as the fourth quarter begins...
Sheezer. You've gone, you've betrayed your lifelong blood, raised royal.
But I've already fallen in love with Suge Knight and Vin Scully.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
I buy a Dodgers hat.
It's a sellout. I mean, and I'll say this, Sheezer.
I'm trying to acclimate myself to possibly moving to LA.
I'm not going to give you a full bailout here. I have a thought for you later, but I'll tell you this. I remember when I first moved to LA... I remember going to a Laker game. I went to a Clipper game earlier than that. The first time I went to a Dodger game, I went to Dodger Stadium, and it was like $5 to get, because it was the 90s. I think it's $10. It's not a lot. I mean,
there's a lot of seats.
There are a lot of seats, and it's not that expensive a ticket. To be honest with you, Dodger Stadium is a very affordable ticket. But the very first time, it was the 90s, 93, 94. And it was one of those things where it was like, it was $5 for me to get in. And I literally was like, is that for Major League Baseball? Like, it's not a track. Like, I'm not, I didn't just pay to go to like a Star Trek convention. I didn't just pay to go to a tractor pull in Dodger Stadium. Like, you have baseball in there. Cause I'm used to like the $24-$38 Red Sox Fenway Park ticket.
Where,
like,
there's only 30,000 available.
Right, right. It's a really, yeah, it's a premium ticket. We take it real seriously. So then it was like, and even after that, it was like, hey, look, I remember actually reasoning with scalpers in the Anaheim parking lot, going like, hey dude, either I give you $10 or I give the box office $10, because I'm gonna sit wherever I want.
I love that. That was me too.
Like, especially like I'm Anaheim, like worst. Anaheim, like 2001, 2002. It's like before they turned red. It was like literally all the 90s. It was like, it was Fenway Park West.
The
it's
Jim
like,
Edmonds Angels.
Right, right. I am going to sit wherever I want in Angel Stadium and for $10. So, you know, I get, and like, so I was at a Laker game and there was a moment, and I'm a lifelong Celtic fan. There was a moment where you could say I was almost seduced by the purple and gold. And I had to realize, like, that's Magic Johnson. I can't ever like him. I can't. And I like the Shaq Lakers are actually my favorite incarnation of the Lakers. But there's a certain point where it's like you have to hold on to what's yours. But you, Sheezer, you came out to L.A. and now the Dodgers. And by the way, it's the same stadium layout. It's the same colors of the hat.
And that was
it's real easy to say, like, hey, you know, I'm having the worst series. I'm having the worst season in Dodger. I mean, in Royal history, and the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers didn't win a World Series more recently than the Royals, but that is
by 3 years, you know, 88. Well,
the Royals, I mean, but the Dodgers haven't won.
No, they haven't.
The Dodgers have not won.
It's going up on 29 years.
Right. They have not won. The Dodgers are now actually one of the more problematic franchises. They're one of the people that have struggles.
It's a West Coast Yankees kind of a philosophy where they were throwing money at it. They've got young, talented stars right now. Bellinger that just came up 3 weeks ago. He's got 7 home runs.
Sure.
Corey Seager.
Oh, you sound like you're a fan. You sound like you know what's going on with the Dodgers, you traitor.
Plus, you're sitting here. You're still
sleeping with them. It's like you told your wife you came back. It's like you married the Royals and you still sleep with your wife, but you have an apartment in town with the Dodgers. It's like, that's what I'm saying. So you still have a mistress. You
got Adrian Gonzalez, you know, on first, getting old. Justin Turner's fun to watch on third, but you got Puig, who's just a loose cannon.
You really know way too much about it. It's like you still,
but you've got,
you know what your ex-girlfriend's up to, bro.
The thing is, like, you've got Clayton Kershaw could be in the conversation as the greatest pitcher.
He's very, I mean, he's a short list.
All
I mean,
time.
He does look like Tom Brady's retarded hillbilly cousin.
ugly beard.
When you say like Walter Johnson, Pedro Martinez, you know, Sandy Koufax, like, he is a pitcher.
He's a machine. He is one of those guys. He just, and he stays healthy and
200 innings. Workhorse every year, 250 innings.
If he can squeeze out a 22-year career and pitch until his early 40s, then, you know, and God forbid they do win a World Series someday, he'll have a nice resume, a lot of Cy Youngs and everything else. So, but it was the color. The Dodgers are red. It was the league and the color. I was like, I'll take a National League team. And I talked myself into saying, I can like this team. And I don't, there's not as much love as, because I don't have the childhood memories.
Like, look, there was things like, look, you know, like
I didn't
Red
get
Sox
Steve Sachs's autograph on a rookie card when I was, right. You know, I mean, I didn't.
You know, it's like as a Red Sox fan, I took the Cubs as my National League team because, like, hey, it's the same thing. Like, we're fucked either way. Like, you know, like 1918, 1908, like, I knew both dates.
The similarities. That's
right, right.
You go, and so to move to a new city.
Right.
And same hat, same stadium.
Very
vibe.
Similar.
Plus, after you win, you get I Love L.A.
I Love L.A. Randy Starts Newman's Randy I Love L.A. Newman. It's a great song, guys.
That was it. That was where.
Yeah, and by the way, when he says 6th Street, guys, anybody who's visiting L.A. for the very first time, 6th Street is a great shortcut. And I'm very mad at the app Waze that I earned a lot of my shortcuts. I earned them. I delivered scripts all over Los Angeles for a long time, and now there are GPSs.
There are
and
no shortcuts for
that
anyone.
They're sluts. No, they're shortcut sluts. They're short sluts. Jeez, they give away stuff I earned. And all right, so tell us about your bigamy.
So the Dodgers aren't even necessarily dominant at this point. I think like they
no, but you were in a historically bad Royal era.
Yes, yeah, so very bad. And look, they had let me down because in 2001.
Dried mouth. He's so guilty about what happened. He's got dry mouth, everyone.
I have a really hoarse, raspy voice, but throat today. I wanted to get a Royals flag for my house in college. I wanted to buy a flag and put it out in front of my house in college. This was in Iowa. Sure. I just wanted... That's it.
It's a great distraction from how you were a Dodger fan.
I just want to say,
yep,
I'm a Royals fan, right?
Yep.
And so I go there to the mall, and I'm trying to find a Royals flag.
Yeah, sure.
And one place has a Royals flag in the kiosk.
And kiosk!
And I remember saying to everyone, 2005, it's going to be the 20th anniversary of the World Series.
I've been there.
And I'm telling you this as we have Jermaine Dye. And Johnny Damon.
Yeah, it's a great guys. You guys, you
Carlos
guys,
Beltran.
You guys raised. You guys raised champions in that field. It's amazing the guys you had.
So I'm saying
your all-time team is one of the greatest all-time.
I'm saying 05, and I'm like, yeah. this is 5 years in the future. I'm like, we're gonna develop all these guys, and it'll be the 20th anniversary of the World Series, and everything's gonna be great.
Yep.
And then the next year, Damon's gone to Oakland.
Yep.
Dies in, I think, the White Sox and Beltran. They ship him off to Houston.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And then we proceed to have the worst years. And so all of this is kind of stewing. So then, look, I'm finished with my college, no degree.
You didn't have a degree?
No. I was doing sociology, and I started working in the...
Wait, did you graduate from college?
No.
You haven't graduated?
I've got, I'm like probably 3 semesters short.
You're 3 semesters short, not 3 credits short.
No, semesters.
3 semesters.
Yeah. Like
we
if I would
send you back to college,
like I'd be a junior. Like
we have to send you back to college.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, this is a good thing. We have to send you back to college.
Anyway,
got it.
So when I get to LA, like it just there's baseball history in a Dodger uniform. So as a kid, I had a Brooklyn Dodgers hat when I was in elementary school.
I have a Brooklyn Dodgers hat as well.
I had a weird. I think Upper Deck had done some history.
Absolutely. Jackie thing. Robinson, Duke Snyder. I mean, there's like, even like, come on, Brooklyn Dodgers.
So I'm kind of familiar with it, but just
Ebbets Field.
The experience. And back then you could park and have a couple beers in the parking lot. You can't anymore. That's what one of the things they've done to curb.
That is true.
They're like,
I have once literally circled the entire Dodger Stadium looking for a car from a druggie who was too drugged out to know where he parked. It was a very weird situation. We'll tell it another night.
So I just like, okay, I'm in LA and I'm all in. And when I finally moved there in 2000, so this is the following season. I've been in LA full time.
Yep.
A year. And I spent a previous summer. And
I understand. I was ready to buy Raiders season tickets my second year here. I mean, like I went to the first 2 seasons of the Raiders that I lived here, I was ready to buy season, like even a small package, like 4 games. And that's when the Raiders moved. Like, I understand, like, you know, like, hey, I'm in my 20s. I'm old enough. I'm ready to like, I'm an adult sports fan. I love sports. I grew up on this shit. Now I live here in Los Angeles. So in some ways, like, you know, I love the sport so much. I'm ready to be a Dodgers season ticket holder.
I'm working. I'm doing stand up, and I'm able to go to games for the first time.
Sure.
I went to college in the middle of nowhere where there was no games to go to.
Iowa.
Just you got to watch ghosts play baseball up there.
I get that.
And so, you know, I was into the team, and they had a late season push, and they had this great game where Steve Finley hits. It's the game-winning home run, which happens to be the 4th consecutive
solo. In fact,
solo.
Steve Finley hit the game-winning home run.
And he had just come over from Arizona.
Sure.
And
yeah, I remember.
And, you know, I just love the team. And so they're back in Kansas City. Dodgers are, right? And
Whoa.
This is 05.
The Dodgers are back in Kansas City.
For the first time, they're playing in Kansas City.
But I mean, like, but that's weird how you just said that, Cheese. It's like, they're back. Like, you just, like, look, you're from Kansas City, and you came out, and I understand that you love the Dodgers in a transplant way, but you just referred to the transplant team as, like, they're back. Oh, that's weird. That's like.
So how should I have said that?
I don't know.
The Royals were hosting Los Angeles.
That may be. Okay. That might be
so
more.
So the Royals are hosting Los Angeles for the first time ever.
Right. And what I'm saying is your wife. Well, I guess what you should say is your wife is hosting your mistress at home.
For the first time. Maybe what you said. Yes. They're meeting each other for the first time.
Your wife is meeting your mistress for the first time.
At my wife's house for the first
time.
At my wife's house for the first time.
With your kids.
And
a
lot of
kids. Say it that way.
And I'm going to assume this was in late June because that's the only reason I think I would have been back was for the annual float trip, which is usually.
Yeah, I understand. I know you're saying KC, Missouri.
So this is probably either the second or fourth week of June.
Yep.
And Aesop Choi goes on this massive home run tear. He hits 7 or 8 home runs. Aesop Choi was this giant 6'5", 230-pound Korean dude. And he is horrible, except for this.
No, you have to understand, the Dodgers' history is also filled with, like, comets. Like, players who, like, they are great.
Aesop went to the Cubs, I think.
Yeah, but it was like, they were briefly. Great. And then they streak and they're gone.
And so he hit, like, 7 or 8, 9 home runs out of nowhere this season.
Yep.
Right before the All-Star break. Sure. He gets in the home run derby that year.
Absolutely.
Based off these 12 home runs he hits in 3 weeks or whatever. So he's right in the middle of this tear, and we're in Kansas City, and to tie it kind of back into the Max Kepler, we're right in that same section before the stadium's remodeled. Yep. And it was at the time, it wasn't really, it was just like you walked down a long ass flight of stairs.
Sure.
And then as you, the further down you went, there were like shorter and shorter amounts of seats
sure,
in every
sure.
row. And it was, you look back up and just see the yep. masses. And, next up for the Dodgers, Aesop Choi. Then all you hear from about 20 rows back, go back to China.
Wow, you just tied up the entire episode. You just brought it back to racism in the right field, the outfield.
And I go, I turn around and I go, he's not from China. He's from Korea. And then the guy, without missing a beat, just goes, what's the difference?
Go back to China. From Korea. What's the difference?
That was my welcome.
That's my haiku. Kaufman haiku.
That was my welcome back to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, yeah, the old Moultrie. The
lack of
culturalism
cultural,
is
the
doesn't
multi unculturalism
doesn't really exist.
The ultimate multi unculturalism of Kansas
would have been Kauffman Stadium, right field, late June 2005. That was probably the mecca.
Go back to China, but you were rooting for the Dodgers.
But I was wearing
you were actually
Dodgers.
On the you were in Dodger gear.
I want to say I had a. I'm not sure.
You were wearing Dodger gear in your home stadium?
I was going to say it.
That's crazy, dog.
I know.
That's crazy.
I want to say it might have been a Sweeney shirt. I can't
no,
remember.
No, that's nuts.
I mean,
like, I would never, like, I swear to God.
Dude, look, I was
the
all
fact
in.
That I would go into, I would never, like, the fact that I would go into Fenway neutral.
Dude, I look. I
then
moved
I would
to LA.
Wear, I, that would wear
that was part
gear.
Of my like. Hey, I'm moving to LA. It's like
that's. But you. But this isn't back to LA. Like this is a problem, bro. Like
dude, that's what look.
You went. Oh my god.
And
you went into
Kauffman
Stadium in Dodger. It, somehow Dodger
in
gear
LA.
Was touching your body.
Yeah, LA with my friends.
Blah!
Set in the row. I think I don't even remember who won or lost the game. It was all I remember.
No, you can't. I think you should have blacked out. I mean, I think you should have been beaten to death. That's
all
crazy,
I remember is taunting the.
Who'd you taunt?
Mike Sweeney and the Royals bullpen.
That's. I mean, you just taunted your own team.
It was. No, it was. Look, I had. That was. I was all in. Like, as a head to head, I'm like, look, I live in LA. I've got.
Wow.
I've invested in the tickets. I split a season.
You
tickets.
Invested in the tickets.
Well, I split season tickets with my roommate
for the Dodgers. Like yeah, you're in. We had split, so technically, you're a Dodgers season ticket holder.
Yeah, we had split up. I think it was a 24 game package.
And you're saying you're an adult, and I now it's like I yeah, might have was, grown up a Royals fan, but now I'm like. So there's a moment where you're saying I'm a Dodgers season ticket holder.
I'm a Dodgers. Yes, this is my city now. I'm trying to become an Angelinian. Or,
an Angelino?
Angelino, yes, thank you. Yeah, I still, apparently I'm just now officially an Angelino just because I just learned that's
the word Angelino.
Angelino.
I mean, I will say this. Here was my bailout for you because Sheezer, thank you. A, guys, let's all give it up for Sheezer for sharing
thank you guys. Thank
that
you.
He
thank
really,
you.
That's a crazy fucked up story. And I'm still not necessarily okay with it. The fact that you were other gear in Kauffman Stadium, like, because I, by the way, I,
but you make it
I
sound
have now
like,
got, no, because, yeah, no, no, I make it sound terrible because it is terrible. No, I know it looks similar, but literally, I swear to Christ, if I'd worn not Boston Red Sox gear that was like, it's close to Boston Red Sox gear, but it's Tampa Bay Ray gear that looks like Red Sox gear, like, that's fucked up, bro. Like, that's really, like, we're going to, there'll be future episodes. We're going to, I'm so glad this is a very revolutionary, I mean, a revelationary. We've revealed some things about you, about being a Dodger
fan. I guess
fan.
I'm a baseball fan.
No,
over...
you're a Dodger fan. At that moment, you're a Dodger fan. Because here's my bailout. I had to tell you, I was going to tell you this, Sheezer, is that, you know, the as many of you guys know, listening at home, I am a friend of Tom Brady. Mr. Five Rings, and the New England Patriots. But I have to tell you, the honest truth is, well, some of you know, if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know I actually grew up as a fan of the New York Jets, and I was against my dad. My favorite player was Joe Klecko of the New York Stock Exchange.
What year was that, 83?
Yeah, no, yes, exactly, 83. I fought with my dad. I wasn't allowed to watch the 86 Super Bowl against the... I wasn't allowed to watch the Super Bowl because I upset my father so much that my mom took me to see the movie A Chorus Line. But I'll say this. So in the year 2001, the Patriots were playing a season that they would end up going, and Tom Brady would – this was the season that Tom Brady would take over as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, and they would win their very first Super Bowl against the St. Louis Rams. It was week five, everybody. It was week five. And if you went back to week five, 2001, now remember this is a few weeks after, 4 weeks, I'm going to say it was 4 weeks after 9/11, the actual 9/11, 2001. The San Diego Chargers were undefeated, cheese. I don't know if you know this. The San Diego Chargers were, I'm going to say they were 5-0. I want to say they were 5-0 going into this game. So maybe it was week six, technically. And they, you know, week two got moved toward the end of the season. And I'm going to tell you that Doug Flutie, Boston College's own Doug Flutie.
I was just going to say, who
was the quarterback of the undefeated San Diego Chargers. And I have to be honest with you, as much as I was now since the 90s, and I moved to L.A. and I got a little homesick, and the Patriots became a good franchise with Bill Parcells, Bledsoe, Belichick, Pete Carroll, I'll give credit to everybody, Ben Coates. It was like, I have to be honest with you. The San Diego Chargers were undefeated at 5-0. And the Patriots now were on their backup quarterback. And you know what? I actually was kind of rooting, like, I would have liked Doug Flutie to have a perfect season. Or, like, to do something great. Like, I love Doug Flutie. I just do. I'm from Boston. I'm old enough to remember when he actually threw the pass against the Miami Hurricanes.
He's an ambassador for Boston.
Right, right. That's a great point. Doug Flutie is an ambassador for Boston. Flutie Flakes, he played for the Patriots. He played for the Bills. He played, I mean, the Bears, he did great.
For a large majority of Americans.
Five great cups.
When you picture Boston College, it's that play.
Yes.
It's Doug Flutie.
Right. And Doug Flutie finally had a team. You're talking about like Junior Seau. They were undefeated.
Natron means?
Maybe very close. And I'm just going to tell you, in a way, look, if we went back in time, if you went back and you met me that week and the San Diego Chargers had won and had become 6-0, I would have been really happy. And in some ways, like, Like, look, I wouldn't say I was a Charger fan or like I wouldn't, but I mean, like, you know, for what it is for that band, for a minor bandwagon, like, you know, you see when, like, sometimes you just like, hey, I get on this college basketball team. Like, you know, I'm not taking this as a win for me, but I just want to back the winners, or like you can see that these guys are the guys that are going to go on. Sometimes you see the Packers or that you see a team coming.
But you felt like that because you grew up.
Right. But also, but I'm saying like I was ready. I have to be honest with you. I went into that game more than happy to lose to the undefeated Doug Flutie Chargers. And I have to tell you, weirdly, that Tom Brady Brady bunch won that game. And in a weird way, it was almost like they sucked the lifeblood out of the Chargers.
They succubused the
Chargers. They did. They succubus them. They sucked the life out of them, the soul, and the Chargers were done. I have to be honest with you. If you look at that season, the Chargers were undefeated going into that game. After that game, they were all done. And weirdly, the Tom Brady Patriots, we've only just begun. And then it's on. And then it was on. And it was on, bro. And I didn't. And I'll be honest with you. I'm bullshit, too. I didn't know whether Belichick should have started Bledsoe or Brady in that. It was a big thing. That now we all look like retarded.
A common similar, like Royals, you know, like.
No, nothing close to the Royals.
No, what I'm saying is colors, I gave stadium, that to, familiarity, I gave it, Boston, Doug Flutie. Like you're rooting for Boston. In your mind, that's Boston.
But you decide to go back into Kauffman Stadium wearing enemy clothing.
I want to say
it's like you hate. It's Mother's Day.
I know there's a picture.
It's Mother's Day when you say this. I mean, we're recording this on Mother's Day, and it's sort of like
it's after midnight, but
it is all right. So it's no longer Mother's Day, but it's sort of like you kicked your family in the nuts.
I don't feel good.
Sound like you feel like you're a bad child.
And I know for a fact that I twice have gone into Royal Stadium wearing a Dodgers because
God, that's crazy.
But here's why: it was a John Broxton Dodgers t-shirt jersey that I used to have before my car got broken into and it was stolen. He was now playing on the Royals.
I get that.
So that was my move with that one. But the first one, I'm pretty sure I was in a Dodgers, and I'm trying to think if it was a Dodgers giveaway. Like, I think it might have been. I used to have a shirt that it was said Dodgers on the back. It said 05 because it was the 05 t-shirt giveaway from 2005.
I mean,
you know?
I'm telling you, I have a Dodgers Nomar Garciaparra t-shirt. Because I was literally in the stadium when Nomar Garciaparra hit his first hit as a Dodger. So I went and bought his jersey that day. Because I'm literally, just so you know, Nomar knew I was there. He hit it right at me. Because it was like, he waited till I was in the, because we were late to the game. We weren't there till the third. He didn't get a hit till like the third or the fourth. He hit it right at me. And I said, I have to go buy him. I had to buy that jersey.
So I pulled up. This is the 05 Dodgers. This was the team right here. You've got, these names.
This is going to sound terrible. It's not going to be good because none of them are winners. None of them are winners.
Dude, okay. Oh, that was the Milton Bradley game.
Milton Bradley.
Dude, my cousin Zach and God, you're the fucking man. He's over in Afghanistan right now doing his thing.
At that time?
No, right now.
Right now.
As we're, he may be listening if you are.
If anybody's out there on the armed forces, thank you for your service.
Yes, but that goes for my other cousin Walter in the Navy, my other cousin Matt.
Get him!
In the Air Force over in Japan. We love you guys, and keep up the good work, get them safe, all that fun stuff. But we were at the Milton Bradley game where he explodes.
You were at that game?
It was at, we were in the outfield, and to listeners, to take you back to Chavez Ravine and long, long, hot summer's night.
Long, long time ago.
So it was a late seventh, eighth inning. They've switched pitching three times in this inning.
Yep.
Milton's in right field.
Yep.
So ball gets hit right at Milton after a pitching change.
Yep.
And it was a thing where I think Jason Wirth was center fielder. Anyway, center and left were convening in center, having their little powwow. Milton Bradley out and right.
By himself.
Leaning against the fence.
Yep, mistake.
Like he's just got done running wind sprints with coach or something. Uh-huh. Right? So, first pitch, ball hit right at Milton Bradley. He drops it, throws it back in. Everyone's booing him. Dodger fan throws a beer at him, which, look, he did get a beer thrown at him by a fan. And so
it happens.
At that point, the next batter would come up, and so he's walking towards the fan. The pitch gets thrown. He stops real quick, checks to see ball's not hit in his direction, goes over to the grabs the bottle, starts trying to get up in the crowd. He's screaming, yelling. He takes the bottle. He spikes it, and then the umps come over. They kick him out. They kick the fan out. As he's walking back into the Dodgers, he rips his jersey off back in the Dodgers dugout, picks up second base, spikes that. Oh, it's great. My cousin Zach's just like, this is the best. This is the craziest baseball game I've ever seen in my life.
By the way, I'd love to know how much the game-worn base of that, like the base he spiked.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't think he did that. I still have that newspaper. I saved that newspaper because I was like, that.
That's an interesting time to have gone.
That was, it's like the paper's great, too. At the bottom, it's got the Kobe rape case thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, I love old newspapers because
you see what's actually happening the same day.
Right, and everything. That's why that ESPN 1994 documentary is really good.
I'm getting she's pointed at. Like, he's giving me a classic, basically.
Yeah, the two fingers.
She's are like, hey, you see that? You check that out.
Right about check the bride. Did you check that out? Look, there's no explanation other than I was a Dodgers fan.
You were a young man who wanted to fit in his new town.
It was good. And so I went in, and that faded away. Like because
you realize deep down you're a Kansas City, you're Royal raised.
It was. And
it burned away. There was a phase.
It was just so bad. And
it's
like
you tried being a lesbian in college.
It started with drafting Alex Gordon 12, 13 years ago or whatever.
Oh, I love that you went. So you're like, by the way, guys, just, you know, every Royal fan who's listening right now, Sheezer is desperately trying to win you back. He's trying to sweet talk you and how he's really a true fan. I've gotten him. This is like, dude, I've got him so cornered. This is really exciting. We're going to end the show real soon because we don't want to make this any more uncomfortable for Sheez.
I'm just saying.
Tell us when you came back to the Royals and you knew it was love.
Manager, Dayton
when you realized you loved your wife again. When you realized you loved your wife, you brought your mistress to the house. It's like you wore Dodger gear to a Dodger game at Kauffman Stadium. Like, it's like you slept in your mom's home where you'd been raised royal, but then you put on a Dodger whatever gear and you drove to Kauffman Stadium. That's like crazy to me.
Now look, Milton Bradley, Jonathan Broxton.
That's insane talk that you're saying you chose
Drew,
Milton Bradley.
JD Drew. Eric Gagne.
By the way, JD
Cy Young.
JD Drew won a world championship for me. Thank you, JD Drew. 2007.
Cesar Esturiz. I mean, that guy at shortstop.
Come on,
that guy,
Eric Gagne, who blew the All Star game.
Jeff Kent at second
base.
Oh,
Kent sucked. I hate Jeff
Ricky
Kent.
Ricky Leday. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Ricky Leday. I hated Ricky Leday. That
DeAndre Navarro. That's an old backup catcher.
Yeah, I remember him.
Brad Penny. I know you love yourself some Brad
Pitcher?
Penny. Yeah.
Yep, Brad Penny.
They brought him right after the Marlins. They brought him over from the Marlins.
Yeah. I remember Brad Penny.
Let's see who else.
I remember that whole team.
Oh, Cody Ross. There you go.
Yeah, maybe.
Almedo Tomato Signs. That was the.
All right, we gotta end this show. It's like that's the end of the fourth
quarter. Oh, Jeff Weaver and Jason Worth.
All right, guys. There's one big plug we have left before we end the show. On June 25th, Leslie Jones is gonna host the BETs. If you guys are out there, watch the BETs. Leslie Jones is hosting the BETs. I'd like to plug that right now. We have nothing. I mean, I have nothing else. Also, the show will go up at the Comedy Store is now bi-monthly. The next show will be May 21st, every 2 weeks at the Comedy Store, Sunday nights, every 2 weeks, 10:30 to 1 a.m. So the next one is May 21st. And Sheezer, any plugs?
I was just, go to johnishere.com, Washington, like I said, next month, June. I think it's the 10th or the 17th.
7-8 shows.
And yeah, it's Washington and Oregon and Northern California.
It's great, guys. It's going to be a great show. Sandro Iacolano, Johnny Scortis, John Sheezer. And by the way, guys, as someone who just, I mean, like, look, you know that I do a podcast with Sheezer, but I just came off the road with him. We just had a killer water slide. It's like, I'll be honest with
you.
Hey, guys,
episode.
Just so you know, I'll say this. I've done a lot of comedy in a lot of situations. I've never performed for a headliner that could literally do a half an hour in the dark. He did a half an hour completely blacked out with just cell phone lights and what do you call it, emergency lighting?
And Moxie, kid.
Yeah, and Moxie.
Hey, can I go over the 05 Royals roster real quick? I dug it up.
Why would you want to do
just
that?
Because John Buck, Matt Stairs, Ruben Goethe.
Matt Stairs!
Angel Baroa, Mark Tian, Terrence Long, who was like David De Jesus, Emil Brown, who was essentially Terrence Long.
God, I'm going to end this show. I
Mike
need to end this
Sweeney,
show just
Tony
out.
Graffinino,
Mike Sweeney, you should have traded him to
Chip
the
Ambrose, Chicago. Eli Marrero, Matt Diaz.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's end
I'm trying
this.
To find Ken Harvey. There, he was an all-star for
oh
us.
Oh, my God. Guys, my name's Eric Marino. That's John Cheeser. We're going to be back.
Affeld.
We'll be back next week with episode 145.
Jimmy Gobble.
And stay obsessed. This is a train whistle.
Mike McDougal. Does that say Zach Greinke?
Rolling down Imperial Highway, the big nasty redhead at my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride. Roll down the window, put down the top. Crank up the beach for us, baby. Don't let the music stop. We gonna ride it till we just can't ride it no more. From the side, baby, to the valley. From the west side to the east side. Everybody very happy, cause the sun is shining all the time. It's like another perfect day. Bum over there, man, he's down on his knees. Look at these women, ain't nothing like them nowhere. Century Boulevard,
we love it.
Victory Boulevard.